today we are here to talk about a very famous green person.
Kermit the Frog?
No, he's not a Muppet.
Slimer?
No. Today we're going to talk about the Green Man from the Red Planet.
Ooh, Marvin the Martian.
No, we're talking about John Jones, because your geek history lesson on the Martian Manhunter is now in session.
I was so close.
Welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Williams Wands Inman. That's my Martian name. Welcome to the Mind University. This is Geek History Lesson, the podcast where we take one character from pop culture and tell you everything you need to know about them, plus their secret food habits. Mm-hmm. And today we are talking about who, Ashley?
Today we are talking about John Jones, a.k.a. John Jones, a.k.a. the Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, that's right, because this character was recently introduced on CBS's Supergirl.
Awesomely.
He has been in almost every incarnation of the Justice League of America, and he deserves to be talked about. He is one of the pillars, in my opinion, of the DC Universe, so it's time to reveal all his green little secrets.
Exactly.
All right, so let's hop right into it. Let's hop right into the first section of our podcast, the 10 cent origin. Ashley, the 10 cent origin, of course, is where we do what?
It's where we give you all the cliff notes that you need to know on a character in case you happen to go to a Burning of Mars themed cocktail party and someone asks you about the Martian Manhunter.
The Burning of Mars?
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Okay. well, let's hop right into that. Professor Ashley, would you please tell us the 10 cent origin of Martian Manhunter?
Yes. So his name is John Jones, and I am pronouncing it like that because that is the way that Andrew Kreisberg and Jeff Johns do it, so I trust them. It is spelled J-O-N-N, J-O-N-Z-Z. He is a Martian. He is a green Martian from the planet Mars. He has had a ton of aliases, and we will talk about why, but his two most famous ones have been John Jones and Gold Hunter, who I had never heard of before I did my research for this.
All right.
He's obviously a DC Comics character and first appeared in Detective Comics number 225 in November of 1955, putting him just on the edge of the golden age of comics. He was created by Joseph Samaxson? I'm really sorry, dude.
Samaxson.
Fun fact, who was an actual scientist? He was a biologist.
Oh, maybe he actually found a guy from Mars.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
And artist Joe Serta. His team affiliations and partnerships have been with Zook, Justice League, Outsiders, Stormwatch, and the Black Lantern Corps. And his abilities include, get ready for it, superhuman strength, speed, durability, and endurance, regenerative healing factor, flight, invulnerability, invisibility, shapeshifting, intangibility, and phasing, telekinesis, telepathy, Martian vision, whatever that means, nine senses, whatever those are, and a genius level intellect. And
you know, you could just say every friggin' power underneath the sun.
He's basically Superman.
With more power. No, he actually has more power than Superman.
I know, but he is famously being portrayed on television by the awesome David Harewood in the CBS series Supergirl.
And he was voiced by Carl Lumbly in the Justice League cartoon,
which I think is where a lot of people first met him.
Yep, sure.
Speaking of which, let's segue right into the meet cute.
The meet cute is a term that we stole from romantic movies where we talk about where we first encountered the character of Martian Manhunter or John Jones or any of these 55 aliases for the first time. Ashley, where did you first encounter John Jones?
Obviously in the 90s Justice League cartoon.
Was that in the 90s? I think it was in the 2000s.
Well, didn't it start in 99?
Actually, I just looked it up. Started in 2001. Ha-ha!
Well, a lot of my childhood blurs together. What do you want?
Yep, there you go.
So where did you first meet the Martian Manhunter?
Is that it?
Manhunter?
This is a cartoon that's very short, me cute.
Well, yeah. He's one of the leading members in the cartoon. I'd never, like I said, it was
You've
a lot of bad books
then.
In the beginning.
Okay.
No, I hadn't. And I thought he was awesome. I actually liked him a lot more than Superman when I was a wee lass.
Okay.
Yeah. So where did you first meet Martian Manhunter?
Well, I first met Martian Manhunter in a storyline called Death of Superman, which I won't reveal because it's sort of a secret, and I assume you're going to talk about it in your lesson.
Yes, I am.
And I didn't realize that I'd met him in that storyline until later.
Well, but secret identities.
The place where I learned to love him the most actually was JLA, the Grant Morrison comic book, where Grant Morrison reinstituted the seven main members of the Justice League: Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, Aquaman, and the seventh member was Martian Manhunter, because Martian Manhunter at that point had been in every single incarnation of the Justice League. And Grant Morrison was a big proponent about making the Martian Manhunter an important character. And to be honest with you, walking away from that series, I learned to love the Martian Manhunter. And to be honest with you, I'm a little sad that he's not in the Justice League right now.
Aw, that's so sweet.
So there you go. And yes, he's awesome in that cartoon.
He is so awesome. A fun side note, I actually have a five-year-old little cousin, and Martian Manhunter is his favorite superhero.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because he's bright colored, I think.
He likes things that are green. All right, so let's move on into the History 101, the main meat of our lesson, where Professor Ashley is going to take us into the depths of Mars and reveal all of its secrets under its blistering sun.
The Martian meat.
Yes.
So Martian Manhunter awesomely made his debut in a backup story.
Yay.
He was not called Martian Manhunter. He was called John Jones.
Okay.
The story is called The Strange Experiment of Dr. Erdl, and like I said, Detective Comics number 225. Basically, his defining characteristic in this story was that he was a green-skinned extraterrestrial humanoid from the planet Mars. He came to Earth via an experimental teleportation beam, which was originally intended for communication between planets.
Well, that was a misstep.
Yep, constructed by Dr. Saul Erdl. Fun fact, in many interviews, it has been revealed that Dr. Saul Erdl was heavily influenced by the writer Ray Bradbury in both his personality and his design.
Oh, interesting.
So basically, he tries to create this communication device. It doesn't work. Instead, it teleports Martian Manhunter to Earth.
It kind of overworks.
It does. It works too well.
It works so well that it does something that he never thought about.
Yes. So you know, like John Jones shows up and he's big and green and he basically demands that Dr. Erdl sends him back to Mars. But this would require, quote, the computer brain thinking pattern to be reversed, and this cannot be done. And also, the force of John Jones coming through the teleportation device knocks Dr. Erdl on his back, and he dies.
Yeah, it kills Dr. Erdl.
Yeah, very, very sadly.
But the other thing about that is like, it's interesting, because it was 1955?
Yeah, computer brain thinking pattern.
What they thought computers were in the 1950s. Okay,
Yeah. I just think it's really funny.
We can't reverse it.
I know, it would take too much time, and it's like I'm dead. So because he could not go home, the Martian Manhunter adopted the identity of John Jones and became an Earth detective living and working in Middletown, USA.
And that's a very important distinction, what you just said. He took on the name of John Jones because his real name is John Jones.
And I mean, when you look at that and you look at the 50s, like there's obviously a lot of contrivance going on there, but it is an important distinction. So listen for that.
I mean, the more contrivance is Middletown.
Middletown, USA.
Middletown, USA.
Doesn't even give a state. Just USA.
For the longest time, Martian Manhunter lived in Colorado. So I'm just going to put Middletown in Colorado.
Yeah, because that's where Dr. Erdl's lab is. Yep. It's in Colorado.
Let's just say Colorado.
Throughout the Silver Age, small details of his origin and his power set vary differently according to the demands of the story until he basically settles on being a Superman analog.
Okay.
More about that very quickly. Eventually, they end up with the precognitive abilities and the telepathy and flight within his next year of existence. So in less than 2 years, Martian Manhunter has kind of all of his defining attributes that we think about him as having right now.
Mm-hmm. Especially his big bald green head.
Especially that.
All right.
I just think that's interesting because in some of our past characters, especially with DC characters that tend to be this old, they won't have their finalized power set till the 70s or something.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that they got Martian Manhunter right off the bat. So since the Silver Age, Martian Manhunter's primary weakness has been fire.
Yep.
This was established and has remained until the modern age, rather. So he's still afraid of fire with good reason. Although at this point, the idea that Martian Manhunter came from a dead version of Mars didn't exist. That's something that comes much later in the 90s.
Oh, so in this version, Mars is alive.
Mars is alive, and we're going to revisit it.
Uh-oh.
So, John Jones eventually reveals his Martian identity to the world because, you know, that's what you do. And he goes on to exclusively work as a superhero soon after his revelation, and he is immediately invited to be a charter member of the Justice League of America, even though he's not American.
Now, here's the thing I have to ask.
Okay.
Because the bald green version of John Jones, mm-hmm. that we see, and it probably wasn't revealed at this point in the comic books, is not his actual form. It's a form that...
It is a contrived form that basically that, so humans can take it.
Yeah, it's what he thinks should look like a superhero.
Based on what he's seen on TV mostly.
Yeah, because he's actually like this kind of spiky green thing.
Yeah.
You know, with a pointy
head. Yeah, hasn't revealed that yet.
Now, on Supergirl, I have a feeling that they're going to say that that form, they revealed his form, the form that we saw, mm-hmm. is going to be his original form.
I would think so, because they built a suit for the actor that looks like that.
But in the comic books, the bald classic kind of, you know, sort of human except green, you know, is...
It's a disguise.
It's another disguise. Yes. Yeah.
But that during this time when he's, quote, like coming out to the world, uh-huh. that is his persona. Because, again, I think that and I'm not entirely sure, but I think that the really alien form is a modern construct.
I agree.
I think it came around when the White Martians did. And we'll get to that.
It was before that, but sure.
Okay. He is forced to reveal his identity because Detective John Jones is seemingly killed in action by the idle head of Diabolu.
What the who?
It's
sounds like a country group.
Yeah, no, it's this weird artifact.
Diabolu.
So, Martian Manhunter's first solo series was House of Mystery.
Yes.
So in House of Mystery, he spends years and years of this book battling this idol head of Diabolu almost exclusively. It's basically this giant mystical.
That's his villain. Is this totem?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really weird. It goes away really quickly. We never deal with it again. But because it is such an important part of House of Mystery and the way that the book launched, I thought it was worth mentioning. During his initial appearance in the Justice League comics, Martian Manhunter is basically a stand-in for Superman. We made that joke earlier. When Superman can't be there, in the same way that Green Arrow would frequently stand in for Batman during this time period, which is why, again, you have two billionaire playboys who don't have a power set because... I mean, this happened because at the time, DC editors were really worried about overusing their Trinity characters, Batman, Ooh. Superman, Wonder Woman.
Interesting.
So they developed and employed analogs for them in the team books and in company-wide events so that those three characters weren't used too much.
I don't see how Green Arrow is the analog for Batman, but sure.
Well,
I
understand, billionaire playboy.
I understand Martian Manhunter for Superman. That makes sense.
Yeah, Ollie has a much softer personality than Bruce mm-hmm. Wayne does, but I don't know, maybe during this time period, Bruce had a softer personality as well.
Yeah, they might have been like more like Brave and the Bold and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Sure, sure.
So spinning out of that, Martian Manhunter and Green Arrow launched the Brave and the Bold team up book.
Yeah.
They are the two who team up in the first issue of Brave and the Bold.
Or the Green and the Green.
Yeah, the Green and the Green. ironically, Jon Jones only goes on to appear in the Brave and the Bold one more time alongside Barry Allen the Flash. So it wasn't really his book, but he helped launch it, and that is pretty cool.
That's kind of cruel.
Having finally defeated the idle head of Diabolu.
Ah, finally.
Literally forever, like 5 years later, Martian Manhunter takes on the persona of Marco Xavier in order to infiltrate Vulture, an international crime cartel.
Vulture.
Which he defeats in the final issue of House of Mystery number 173 in June of 1968.
That makes sense because the mystery was over because he beat them.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the mystery was like, will he beat them? Well, he did.
To go out on top.
Yep.
Toward the end of the 60s, DC editorial eased up on their mandate about allowing the Trinity to be, you know, involved, not involved. So they both, all three of them, rather, became part of the Justice League book in a much more meaningful way. And
the Trinity, just in case anybody doesn't know, is Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Just in case you don't know.
I said that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm
just reinforcing, Professor. I'm just trying to help.
You're doing a good job. So because Superman was allowed to show up in more stuff, Jean's appearances drop off dramatically during the Silver Age because he's basically, like, no longer needed, as far as they were concerned.
Was he fighting the head of Diablo?
Yeah, I'm going to say so.
Okay.
It resurged
Diabolo.
Again. Diabolu.
Okay.
His final appearance during the original run of JLA books, so JLA Volume 1, was in Justice League number 61 in March of 1968.
Okay.
However, in Justice League number 71, the Martians come to Earth to seek out Jean.
Dun, dun, dun.
And he leaves with them to become the leader of New Mars.
Ooh.
He makes sporadic appearances in DC Comics throughout the Bronze Age going forward. Martian Manhunter's next main appearance is in 1972 when Superman briefly comes to visit New Mars and, like, check it out.
Is New Mars in the solar system? Or is
New
it
Mars
still
on
Mars?
Is Mars.
Oh, okay.
It's just called New Mars
now.
Everyone
call it new.
It's just because it's like a new society,
it's like
I guess.
New Coke. It's basically the same.
Yeah. Then he returns to Earth in a spaceship 3 years later in 1975, bringing Superman and Batman back to New Mars to fight alongside him. And I think it's worth noting that the New Mars stuff has largely been forgotten and left out of Martian Manhunter's story based on what they do with the death of Mars, which we will come to. And some people theorize that the reason that this has never been revisited is to avoid confusion with the Superman New Krypton storyline that DC wrote not too long ago.
Okay.
Whether or not that's true, whether or not there was any inspiration taken from the idea of New Mars for New Krypton, I obviously can't confirm, but I think the parallels between these two, basically, you know, Superman and the Superman analog, both going back to find new versions of their planet, is kind of interesting.
Hmm.
John Jones does not permanently return into the DC universe until 1984.
Wow.
So long. So he basically takes like a 9-year hiatus where he's just making kind of guest appearances.
That happens to him a lot, actually.
It does. This is the biggest one.
Yeah.
But usually after like a big reboot, where maybe sometimes he dies.
For some reason, there's a thing that with Martian Manhunter, I think because he is a Superman analog, that they're like, we don't know what to do with him. But to me, he's not a Superman analog. He's completely different.
But that's what he was in his origin, so that is probably it's just like, you know, Shazam's the same thing.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's not fair,
no.
But I kind of understand it.
All right.
And the reason that he comes back is because several key members of the Justice League resign, and so they need new Justice Leaguers,
like,
and they're like, we always liked that green guy.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're out of here.
I don't know how you quit being a Justice Leaguer, but apparently you just, like, walk off.
Very carefully.
Very carefully. Yep. Yeah, because Batman's watching you as you go. Martian Manhunter takes the position on the team and revives his detective John Jones identity while he's living on Earth, which immediately conflicts with his earlier death, and they never really get around to explaining, like, why.
It doesn't matter. He just moved to a different town.
They're just like, but he doesn't.
Oh. Well, he mind-wiped the town.
Exactly.
Was this the section of storylines where Martian Manhunter led the Justice League?
This is one of them, yes.
Okay, got
he
it.
Leads the Justice League a couple times.
Yep.
But this doesn't really last for very long because Crisis on Infinite Earths happens.
Oh, damn it.
Really quick, Jason, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Crisis on Infinite Earths is a DC storyline where there were literally thousands upon thousands of multiple parallel universes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting too confusing. The readers would pick up a comic book and be like, I don't know what's happening. And DC was like, we can't have our readers pick up a comic book and go, well, I don't know what's happening. So they created a storyline.
It was a pandemic.
Yep. They created a storyline where this being called the Anti-Monitor basically destroyed all the multiple universes. And now there's only New Earth.
Yes.
And it's one Earth. There's no alternate dimensions, just one Earth.
So now we are in the, quote, post-crisis world.
Basically 1985 and forward.
Yeah. The nice thing about the post-crisis world is Martian Manhunter gets to do a lot more stuff that's not just Supermaning.
Yeah.
So in 1987, DC launches Justice League International.
Or as some people call it, the Bwahahaha League.
It's awesome, guys.
I like it.
It's so great.
It's called that because it's a humorous league.
Yes. Written by Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis with art by Kevin Maguire and Adam Hughes. Jean appears in this first issue to launch the team, and he basically plays the straight man against the team's, quote, quirkier members.
And I think he's the one that convinces Batman to join.
He is.
Yeah.
JLI also revives some weird details about Martian Manhunter's character from the Silver and Bronze Age, like the fact that Shazam gets him obsessed with Choco's cookies, which are basically Oreos.
They're Oreos. But we can't call them Oreos in a comic book.
Yeah, yeah, definitely not. And I think we can all agree that Oreo cookies are awesome.
Yes.
But we wouldn't want to eat them all the time.
No.
And that's what will happen if Jason and I, if you don't go to patreon.com/Jawin, JAWIIN.
Ooh, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, that is the website where you can support Geek History Lesson and all of our videos every month for just $1. And for perks, we give you something better than cookies.
Yeah,
just
what's that?
Just to blow your mind. For $3 of support a month, that gets you these episodes a day early. You can listen to them before all your friends and be the coolest kid in town. $5 of support a month gets you Geek History Lesson Extra, a Patreon-exclusive podcast that you can only hear there.
Wow.
And this week's subject is going to be Secret identity.
Secret identity.
So please save Jason and I's cholesterol levels and head over to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and support the show. Thank you so much, everybody. Now, back to the Martian Manhunter and his cookie-loving ways.
I don't even remember how he left it, so let's go back.
Well, he loved cookies.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, it's okay, because we're going to jump to 1988.
Woo!
Woo! It was a good year, I guess?
Not so much.
Okay, so Martian Manhunter gets his first eponymous series, written by J.M. DeMatteis, with art by Mark Badger, that includes a bunch of retcons for his character.
Is it a miniseries or ongoing?
It is a miniseries.
Okay, got it.
This is where the idea of Mars being a dead planet
first planted. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So basically what that means is there used to be people in society and plants and stuff on Mars, and now there's not society and people and plants on Mars.
Aww.
So this run introduced the Martian name of Mars, which is Malecantra, M-A-L-E-C-A-A-N-D-R-A.
Sure.
In the native tongue.
Because they wouldn't call it Mars.
Right. And the cool thing about naming it that is that C.S. Lewis, who's famous for the Chronicles of Narnia, wrote this novel called Out of the Silent Planet, and Malecandra is his Martian name for Mars. So even though nothing else is similar to that story, the name is a direct lift from the C.S. Lewis book.
So the Martians somehow read the Chronicles of Narnia?
No. Out of the Silent Planet.
They somehow read this other book of C.S. Lewis?
No, I'm not saying the Martians didn't, but J.M. DeMatteis probably did.
Oh, but okay, but I'm just trying to go into the continuity. Okay, so in the DC universe, we have to the Chronicles of Narnia exist in the DC universe. Like that book exists.
Arguably, yes.
Yes. Okay. So the name for Mars is the same name as this. So you have to like go even further back that like somehow C.S. Lewis had contact with Mars and figured it out.
I'm going to say yes.
He had a space fax
mm-hmm.
that he figured out the name of. Okay.
Yeah. Well, he just called, Aslan's a flying lion. So he just called him Aslan and had them like write a wire out to
Mars. I think that's a neat idea. I think he should have changed it a little bit.
I mean, he does. He changes the spelling and throws some apostrophes in there.
Oh, well, okay. I'll give that to you. All right, cool.
I don't know. I thought it was a really cool nod back to one of the early science fiction writers.
Sure.
In the 1990s, Martian Manhunter takes on a leadership role in Justice League of America, leading them in several different stories. There is also 2 years in the 90s where Martian Manhunter just disappears.
Yep.
And it winds up that during like the death of Superman, he'd taken on a new superhero identity called Bloodwind.
Yeah.
This is basically undone as soon as the series is over and never spoken of again.
Now, Bloodwind is what I was talking about in my Meet Cute because mm-hmm. Bloodwind is this guy. He has a fully white costume. He's African American. I mean, he shows up in like 92.
Yeah.
And he was created by Dan Jurgens. And the interesting thing about it is that, like, he has this whole, like, fake what? He has a fake history. I don't know how to say it.
Oh, like a fictional history?
Yeah, he has a whole fake history, you know, and then you later find out that, like, he's actually Martian Manhunter. So it's crazy.
And for you, when it was revealed, like, were you genuinely surprised? Did you have any inkling that this was actually Martian Manhunter?
I actually didn't find out about... I didn't find out about it till later,
mm-hmm.
so it was kind of weird. But it wasn't like there's a moment in the Death of Superman where Blue Beetle sees him transform,
mm-hmm.
and then Blue Beetle gets trapped in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, how you get trapped in a coma.
Yeah.
And for me as a reader, I was like, no, what is the deal with Bloodwind? And the actual thing about the reason why Martian Manhunter was being Bloodwind was actually kind of a ridiculous reason. And I don't know why they did this because there was a villain called Rot,
mm-hmm.
and Rot somehow did this thing with the gem and it compelled Martian Manhunter to impersonate Bloodwind. And because at the time Rot had the real Bloodwind.
Okay.
Yeah, so there is a real Bloodwind. This isn't just a fake identity that Martian Manhunter was like, I'm going to be African-American today. So because of this gem, it happened. And then basically it was, I don't know. It's
very silly.
It is silly. It's very, very silly.
So speaking of 1992, during that same time, there is a miniseries called American Secrets by Gerard Jones with art by Eduardo Barreto. And it's basically Martian Manhunter's origin on Earth as set against the background of a 1950s noir. It's a lot of the same beats that we talked about earlier. He comes to Earth by accident, gets stuck here, can't go back. But it leans really hard into his detective persona.
Okay.
It's very pretty.
Okay.
The art is really, really cool. If you're looking for like a Martian Manhunter Elseworlds origin, I would say that American Secrets is worth picking up.
And cool.
It's kind of the beginning of we're going to put Martian Manhunter in random period pieces.
Yeah.
John Jones also becomes a founding member of the JLA by Grant Morrison with art by Howard Porter in their 1997 series.
It's not really a founding member, but it's like a new incarnation.
Well, he founds that particular team.
Sort of, yeah.
Yes, he's a supporting founding member.
Well, it's not really a founding because it's not a new thing. Like, it's a new incarnation.
Yeah. This is the storyline that introduces white Martians.
For the first time.
For the first time. Because the JLA fights a group of white Martians called the Hyper Clan. The important thing you need to know about white Martians is that there's green Martians and there's white Martians. And the white Martians are way more powerful and way scarier.
And the white Martians are responsible for the death of Mars.
Yes, they lit it all on fire and murdered everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the cool thing about this is in the first volume of Grant Morrison's JLA. I've alluded this run many times. And this is a little bit of a spoiler, but this storyline is over 20 years old, so I don't care. But basically, this group called the Hyperclan, which is like a new supergroup, mm-hmm. shows up. And then eventually it's revealed that they're Martians. And there's a very powerful scene in it where Batman's the first one to figure it out.
Of course he is.
Because they bring down Batman's plane, the Batwing, mm-hmm. but they don't go anywhere near the wreckage because it's on fire and burning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes Batman realize it. And so like the Hyper Clan's all, there's a scene where he's sneaking through their headquarters and Superman's already been captured.
Yeah.
And he's sneaking through the headquarters and they're all like, Batman doesn't have powers. Like, what good is it going to be? You know, like, ha, ha, ha. And then Batman drops right in front of him on a rope, one of the members of the Hyper Clan. And mm-hmm. he has a sign on it that says, come get me. And it says sign with the bat signal. And then, like, he's on the ground and he's pouring this liquid on the ground in a circle around them. They're like, oh, you think that? Then the three of them find him. They're like, we finally caught you. What do you think that circle's going to do? And he's like, I don't think the circle's going to do anything. And then he goes, and he lights a match.
It's like lighter fluid or something.
And he just drops it. And it was gasoline.
That's really cool.
And they all like, ah!
That's how white Martians scream, folks. but yeah, they're silly. But the white Martians become a staple of the DC universe going forward.
Because the end of the storyline is that Martian Manor, they consider killing them all.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're so much of a threat, but Martian Manhunter kind of does this whammy. He mentally changes all of their minds. So he forces them all to shapeshift to humans,
mm-hmm.
and they don't remember that they're white Martians. And so now there are thousands of white Martians living on Earth, not realizing that they're white Martians. Kind of like what they did for the Zygons.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
But
yeah.
This came first, so.
Well, then, Doctor Who, get your act together.
Yeah, Doctor Who ripped off Grant Morrison.
Well, he's Scottish, so close enough. In 1998, Martian Manhunter gets his first ongoing titular Woo! Series by Mark Ostrander with art by Tom Mandrake.
And this only happened because of the JLA series at the time was selling so well.
Yeah, because Grant Morrison did such a good job.
And Grant Morrison championed this. Yeah.
Fun fact, one of the fill-in artists on this series and some of his earliest comics work, Brian Hitch.
Wow, cool.
So,
well done.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
The series lasts for 36 issues
wow.
and is eventually canceled due to low sales.
Yeah.
Ostrander focused on the idea created by Grant Morrison that the Martian Manhunter is the most recognized superhero in the Southern Hemisphere and that he maintains several different secret identities. So this is mm-hmm. where like Gold Hunter comes from and a lot of the names that you'll find like listed in articles about Martian Manhunter. I also, like, I personally thought this was a really interesting idea when it was introduced in JLA because as someone who lives in North America, you know, when you see them in, like Chicago or New York or Toronto or whatever, you're like, yeah, of course, because those are the cities that I live in. But there's a whole world out there.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool that Martian Manhunter is like, I'll take South America. I got it.
I think it's also cool because it makes Martian Manhunter more mysterious. And the more mysterious, that's an aspect of his character that I think is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do a thing that Martian Manhunter has like seven different lives across the world
yeah.
in different continents, you're just like, that's kind of cool.
It is. It's very like international man of mystery kind of thing.
It's also very alien.
It is, yes. This is also the series that introduces Jem, son of Saturn. This is a red character that we saw on Supergirl recently. And he terraforms part of the Earth to make it more like Mars. He's basically evil Martian Manhunter. Jem does this in conjunction with Martian Manhunter's crazed brother, Malefic?
I want to correct you really quickly. That is actually the first introduction of Jem, the son of Saturn. Jem, the son of Saturn, actually had his own special back in the 80s.
I misspoke. This is the introduction, I believe, of their rivalry.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, yeah. This is the first time that they started pitting the two of them against each other.
Which is something that happens again and again.
And it also makes it to where he is John Jones' opposite on the Injustice League created by Lex Luthor.
Correct. Thank you for catching me on that. So it's important that his crazy brother is there because Martian Manhunter's crazy brother shapeshifts into his form and goes to the JLA to try to convince him that Jean has turned into a sociopath. The Martian Manhunter is able to clear his name and defeat his brother despite being exploded. So he gets exploded and he heals by transferring his soul into his hand and regenerating the rest of his body back from his hand on his home fortress. So
John Jones?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Were you calling Jem, the son of Saturn, his brother?
No. Jem, the son of Saturn, is working with his brother.
His name
is Malefic.
Okay, for a second there, I was very confused. I was like, Martian Manhunter's brother showed up? I thought he was dead.
Yeah, no, it's really... It's a very silly story.
The regeneration thing, too, is interesting. This is also... Howard Porter did this very interesting thing that had never been done with John Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And that all of his shape-shifting abilities... We're now done with like molecules or droplets of water.
Yeah.
So his shapeshifting wasn't that like, you know, like you'd normally see like somebody just turns into goo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Howard Porter did this thing where it was like all these separate little like stones, circular stones. And those were the pieces of John.
Yeah.
When he would change. And I always thought it was like a neat little visual distinction.
Well, he's a great artist.
Yep.
When Joe Kelly takes over JLA, Jean's story focuses mostly on him trying to overcome his fear of fire because his fear of fire is really crippling.
Yep.
And it keeps him, and I mean, understandably so. And it keeps him from being able.
Well, it's way more common than kryptonite.
Yeah. It keeps him from being able to be, you know, like the best Justice Leaguer that he can.
Yep.
He is briefly rendered invulnerable to fire during that same run, but it's forgotten basically as soon as the series ends and never mentioned again. Then Infinite Crisis happens.
Infinite Crisis.
Cliff notes on Infinite Crisis.
Infinite Crisis is where Superboy Prime, Alexander Luthor, and the original Golden Age Superman had somehow survived Crisis on Infinite Earths. They don't like how the DC universe has changed, and they punch all of reality to try to change it all. And, of course, they all die.
Right. Martian Manhunter resurfaces following that in a series called 52 that Jason loves so much.
Yep.
In issue number 24, when it is revealed that he has been working behind the scenes in an effort to defeat Checkmate. Checkmate, it is a division of Task Force X, a.k.a. the Suicide Squad, a covert operations agency.
It's just a secret, shadowy organization.
Yeah.
Imagine it kind of as Spectre, except good.
And he is basically working to take them down following the death of Ted Kord, Blue Beetle.
Yep. Because Checkmate killed Ted Kord, the Blue Beetle.
Yeah, they did. I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, there's a little series called DC New Frontier by Darwin Cook. It's basically a retelling of the classic Martian Manhunter origin, again with Dr. Erdahl in the inception of John Jones as a street-level detective, although this time he winds up being in Gotham for most of the story. And the story deals with the emerging alien threat on Earth following the Korean War, and Martian Manhunter obviously represents the very alien aspect of that, along with Clark Kent Superman. It deals with the formation of the Justice League, and it is set, because it is set in this kind of like 1950s, 1960s era, it is very, very stylized in both the writing and the art, and it's one of my favorite stories of all time. And he's one of the leads in it, so that's really cool.
Nice.
Final Crisis number one by Grant Morrison.
Oh, I'm actually surprised. You're jumping over a pretty big change in John Jones' character here.
Well, you can fill it in.
After Infinite Crisis, John Jones, the 1 year later, after this whole mess in Shimegi with Checkmate, is when John Jones changes his costume for like the first time in 20 years. And he goes with the costume that where it's all black. He's not half naked and he has a long cape. And then also he gets rid of his domed head and his head becomes kind of like a Koenig. His head looks exactly like it originally does, and it's because he becomes very mistrustful of humanity. Mm-hmm. So I actually like the costume because it makes him more alien and he's not naked. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time where he was just like, I don't trust humanity anymore.
Yeah.
And he's that way for like 2 years.
Yeah, but it's like only 2 years, and then he reverts back pretty quickly.
But it's a big change for the character.
I would say that version of the character visually is what the CBS Supergirl has taken the most from.
Exactly.
Although they do still have the big red X, because it is so iconic.
You have to have the red X, because that's like a big part of his character.
So in Final Crisis by Grant Morrison, Martian Manhunter dies.
Yep.
And that's the end of this lesson.
He's killed by Gemini.
Yep, he sure is. Not for very long, though, because it's comics. I'm actually surprised he didn't stay dead longer. But his death is kind of overshadowed in the story by the death of Batman. So I also think that maybe they were just like, well, that's the bigger thing that we're going to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
He's revived in Blackest Night as a Black Lantern and then is revived for real by the end of the series and appears in Brightest Day, which is a terrible series and we won't talk about.
Yeah. And in Brightest Day, he comes back to life and he decides to bring back life to Mars. But there's another Martian out there and it doesn't quite work.
Yeah. Basically, the most interesting thing about Brightest Day, in my opinion, is that John Jones goes to Mars and discovers that there's water there, just like we just did in real science.
Yeah, sure.
And then during the early aughts, Martian Manhunter kind of undergoes this undergo this Superman syndrome where writers take an opportunity to create a bunch of Martians with silly names that show up and then like go away. And like some of them are related to John and some of them aren't. And like they all have like these impronounceable names and nothing that they do matters except that this is when Miss Martian is created and we get to see Miss Martian for the first time. She's pretty cool. Go watch Young Justice. Then the New 52 happens and none of it matters anymore. Can you tell us what the New 52 is really quick?
The New 52 is when DC says everything you read in the past is wrong. And we got some new stuff because the Flash tried to travel back in time and save his mama. And when he traveled back into the present, he screwed everything up. So, like, everything's crazy.
So, John Jones is reintroduced as a member of Stormwatch.
Stormwatch
from the Wildstorm universe.
Wildstorm!
There is some debate during his first few Stormwatch issues about whether or not John has previously been a member of the Justice League or whether he never applied at all. And a bunch of characters say a bunch of different things and it's really unclear and never resolved.
Here's what it is. I was actually reading these issues.
Great.
Because I loved Wildstorm Stormwatch. So when they were like, we're going to reintroduce Stormwatch, I was like, I'm so on board. And they were like, and we're going to put Martian Manhunter. I was like, I'm done.
Doubly on board.
They reveal that Martian Manhunter, they state that he was part of the Justice League, but for like only like a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And then something happened. And then they retcon it like a couple years later by saying that like being in the by somebody saying like, oh, hey, Ashley, you were in the Justice League in this universe means that you were just a public superhero.
Oh,
yeah,
that's dumb.
But I will say that they did this concept with Martian Manhunter when they launched the New 52 about him being very mysterious. Mm-hmm. And him trying to be like a chess master for the universe.
He's smart.
And it's something that they played with, but they didn't quite pull off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of disappointed with it because now he's just a normal superhero again. And I'm like, no, I like the kind of like trying to put his hands and everything. And I have 75 aliases all around the world.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So Jean finally becomes a card-carrying member of the Justice League of America in their spinoff title series called Justice League.
Yep. In Justice League of America.
But then
no, but
he's on the Justice League team, the government sponsored superhero team.
No, that is called the Justice League of America.
Oh.
You're confusing the two titles. In the New 52, when they relaunched, the Superman Batman team was called Justice League. And then the government team was called Justice League of America. That's the one that he's
on. Oh, well, then I made my notes wrong. Yep. I'm sorry. The Justice League of America is a government-sponsored version of the team run by Amanda Waller and Steve Trevor. Because of his involvement with this team, he is forced to quit Stormwatch in Stormwatch number 12. Mm-hmm. And he uses his telepathy to wipe the memories of all of his teammates so they all believe that he was never, ever a part of the team and basically retcons that ever happening.
And that's the same thing with Stormwatch. Stormwatch was a series that, like, the first, like, three issues, I feel, are really good. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes off the rails. And when that happened, you're just like, oh, really? Come on.
Yeah. So this Justice League of America team, this government-sponsored team, was designed to have analog members for everyone in the Justice League in case any members go rogue. And once again, Martian Manhunter finds himself as Superman's analog, yep, just like his conception in the Golden
Age. That was also the team where Vibe was the opposite of the Flash.
Yeah. And then he kind of farts around in a bunch of events and team-up books. And
he does what now?
Farts around.
Okay, got it.
And does nothing much of consequence until he and Green Arrow are founding members of Justice League United.
Yep, or Justice League Canada, if you want to call it that.
That's what I want to call it.
I'm fine with that.
And that's where I'm going to end this lesson.
That's where he's at right
Manhunter.
Now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, that's it.
And although in the new Divergence, he has a new solo series.
Which is pretty good.
It's actually pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because I try not to talk about whatever he's doing in the most current run in case anyone's reading that.
Got it.
So, but yeah. So go read Martian Manhunter. It's pretty cool.
That's it.
That's
for
it.
Where he is in the comic books, right?
Yep.
Where's he been in other media?
In other media, the Justice League cartoon and CBS Supergirl.
You forgot Smallville.
I never was.
He was in Smallville. He was a pretty important part in Smallville.
Was he really?
Yes. And actually, he kind of plays the same role in... Here's the thing. I like the show Supergirl. But you can tell.
Martian Manhunter is like one of the best parts of Supergirl.
Yes. Yeah. You can tell that the producers of Supergirl have definitely watched Smallville because he is. Martian Manhunter's role on Supergirl is kind of the same as what it was in Smallville, where he was kind of the protector of Kal-El. Although in Smallville, they kind of made it to where, like, Jor-El knew about the Martians, mm-hmm, and asked John Jones to go and check out his son and make sure that he was A-OK.
Oh, you mean like how Dean Cain asked Hank Henshaw to look after his daughter?
Yes, very, very, very similar. The actor's name, I'm trying to look it up right now, but the actor is a very famous actor.
Is he also African-American, like David Harewood?
Yes, Phil Morris.
Oh, Phil Morris.
From Seinfeld, and he's in a lot of voices.
Let me retract that. David Harewood is not American, he's British.
Yes, there you go. But he shows up in a bunch of episodes of the Smallville television series. And actually, I think he's really good.
Does he ever go green?
He only goes green once because there's an episode where he shows up and you just see his eyes glow red.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an episode where Clark loses his powers completely. And John Jones takes Clark and flies him to the sun and gives Clark his powers back. But as you know, the Martian Manhunter's weakness is fire. So doing that takes away all of John Jones' powers. Now, they do this two-parter written by Jeff Johns called Absolute Justice, where the Justice Society shows up. And mm-hmm, in that episode, Dr. Fate, mm-hmm, is introduced, and Dr. Fate and John Jones are together, and they get attacked, and Dr. Fate pushes Martian Manhunter out of the way. And when he pushes him, you see like the onks, is that mm-hmm what you call it?
The
power onks of him, mm-hmm, go touch John Jones. And as he's falling, he falls in slow motion. You see him look fully Martian Manhunter and then go back to John Jones. And
that's how he gets his powers back.
And that's how he gets his powers back.
Wow, that seems really cool. Well done, Smallville.
Martian Manhunter in Smallville is actually really well done. And Phil Morris as Martian Manhunter is pretty cool.
Cool.
So there you go.
Recommended reading?
My recommended reading for Martian Manhunter would be this. And by the way, to let you know, all of our recommended reading picks are now on the Geek History Lesson website. Where, Ashley?
GeekHistoryLesson.com/recommended reading.
That's right. And you can click on every single one of them. It'll take you to an Amazon link, mm-hmm, where you can buy that book and check out our reading. And a lot of people out there have been asking us for this list. So here you are. We're going to be updating all the old episodes. And if you purchase through that link, a little bit of that comes back our way. So my recommended reading is Justice League of America Volume 1,
mm-hmm,
or JLA Volume 1, the Grant Morrison series. It's the White Martians, And don't worry, I didn't spoil everything because that first trade, I think, collects the first 10. So you get more than just that first little snippet. Martian Manhunter has never been better than that series. My other recommended reading would be the Martian Manhunter solo series, his ongoing series by John Ostrander, right? Mm-hmm. And they just started putting out trades, collecting all that. And I picked volume one of that as well, because go check it out. Give them some support. What's your recommended reading?
My recommended reading is DC New Frontier, the post-Korean War.
The Darwin Cook.
Yes. Rebirth of the Justice League. I really, aesthetically and in personality, I really, really like what he chooses to celebrate about the Martian Manhunter and about what makes him alien. And I think that he looks amazing. It's a really neat revisit of the classic story, which is frankly very silly,
yep,
but it treats it very seriously. And in the world, it really, really works. It is easily one of the most beautiful books I've ever looked at. And you'll learn something from reading it, because I did.
Cool.
Yeah. So right. DC New Frontier.
Now on to discussion. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about the fact that Martian Manhunter has cropped up in three major DC television shows. But we're
Supergirl, Smallville. What's the other one?
Justice League cartoon.
Oh, okay. I just called it a cartoon. Sorry.
Cartoons are TV shows, Jason.
I guess technically they are on TV.
So, you know, and I think Martian Manhunter is a really interesting character, and you think Martian Manhunter is a really interesting character, but it has been stated unequivocally that he's never going to show up in the movies.
Has it?
It's been asked. Yes. It's been asked a couple times, and it's always been shot down. And I want to know, do you think that his name is the problem?
No.
Do you think that it's Martian? Why do you think that he hasn't been featured in a movie yet?
Well, this discussion also goes to the underlying of why a solo series for Martian Manhunter most of the time doesn't work.
Yeah.
You want to know why I think it is?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to bring this up, but I think it's 100% the reason. I think it's a little bit of humans underlying racism. I think humans, we look at this guy, he's all green.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't quite look like us.
He's humanoid, but he's not human.
Yes. And we don't like that. And I think because of that, we'll always view him as, quote unquote, like a supporting character. Another part of that, I think, is because he's too close to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's.
But Devil's Advocate, you said that you don't see him as a Superman analog.
I don't, but most people do. I don't see them as, like, you mentioned several times in this podcast, you were like, oh, he's a Superman analog. He's a Superman analog.
I mean, that's what he's designed to be.
I don't see him as a Superman analog, but you have to realize that I'm not the normal public. I'm a predisposed comic book fan. Grant Morrison.
Yeah, but you're the person that I'm talking to. So.
Well, yeah. Grant Morrison convinced me why Martian Manhunter is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I see Grant Morrison's viewpoint. Grant Morrison is way out there. So most people will just see him as green Superman. And they'll be like, well, why should I read green Superman when I can just look at Superman, who, one, Henry Cavill, beautiful man, and two, he has the powers. Why do I want to see green guy over here? You know, it would be the same thing as...
Do you think that extends to characters like Starfire as well?
No, because Starfire, one, is a sex kitten. And and two, her hair is fire. So she's already right there visually. Her powers are already visually distinctive from Superman right there.
Mm.
Starfire doesn't have all the powers of Superman.
No, but she's alien.
You know, but no, it's not the same.
Okay.
It's Martian Manhunter in the public's consciousness is green Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit of that. He doesn't look like us. He has the same powers. What's the point? It's the problem that DC Entertainment could run into if Shazam is not distinctive.
See, because if I'm DC Entertainment and we want a Superman analog, but we don't want it to be like that obvious, I would have gone Martian Manhunter because Shazam is so obviously just Superman.
You know, to be honest with you, and this would be my dream.
Okay.
In the new DC Cinematic Universe, it seems like they're going to use Amanda Waller, the head of the Suicide Squad, to connect all these movies. That's cool. totally fine. Mm-hmm. It works that way. If it was me, I would have a character in every single DC movie that had the anagram of JJ.
Interesting.
And this character shows up kind of like Phil Coulson in Iron Man 1. Like he maybe gets a scene.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a woman in this movie. It's a man in this movie. It's a woman in this movie. It's a man in this movie. And then somewhere, maybe Justice League Part 2, I reveal that all of those characters were the same person, and it was John Jones keeping track of the Justice League, which is something in comic books that he's done before. If you ever read JLA Year One,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, is another great Martian Manhunter story. I don't know why I didn't recommend that. but in that storyline, he keeps track of all the members, and he keeps track of them in secret identities, which I think would be a cool way to introduce him into the movie. Here's my thing. Martian Manhunter, I think, in the movie universe, will never be a lead. But he could be the guy that keeps the watchtower running.
That'd be cool.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he's always on monitor duty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Except on Christmas, because that's when Batman does it.
I so want to see him in that movie, but I think it's because he's too similar to Superman and that he's green that he won't get anywhere.
Wow, you killed that discussion. That
Sorry,
was, so,
was that too
no,
much?
No, I thought that was fascinating.
What do you think? I called all humans racist.
Yeah, you did.
That's what I did.
I honestly think there's a big problem with the name. I think
you think specifically.
I think
the
it's
name.
Manhunter.
Really? Okay.
Because I don't think that. I think if you're an executive and you're trying to market this to children, and I get that there's a certain level of violence that's inherent in superheroes because that's what it is. I don't know. Manhunter is something that I think that parents, the parents who had a problem with like Breaking Bad toys and Toys R Us and made a stink about it and then made really like derogatory comments
would
about Carrie Fisher
would have a problem
with Manhunter.
Okay.
And that's something that I don't want to deal with.
Okay.
As an executive, like I don't want to deal with that blowback and those crazy people.
Got it.
So if I was going to do it, I would go to DC and be like, you need to rebrand this character.
Interesting. That's going to be a tough sell.
So you only call him John Jones, AKA the Martian Manhunter. So that everyone gets used to knowing him as something other
as
than
John
the Martian.
Jones.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's what I think the problem is. And that's why I don't think
let me put it this way. Should he just be called the Martian?
Sure. But then you run into branding problems with the Martian.
True. But the problem with that is you've got to give him like a superhero name.
No, I understand
And John
that.
Jones is not a superhero name.
I understand that.
You know. I don't think they'll ever get rid of that name.
I think it's a great name, but I understand why. If you're an executive.
Well, the other thing about it, and actually I'm surprised. I'm surprised you didn't come up in your lesson, is that the Manhunter title is that's what his job was on Mars.
Yes.
Is that he was a Manhunter.
Yes.
You know.
But they do away with that like really fast.
I mean, it's brought back in Grant Morrison's run a lot. Like, and to me, I always dug that as if it's, you know, and I also like call him the Manhunter or something like that. I don't know. I can see your point. I don't think it's the name, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
He's a character that I think that if DC does a phase 2 and a phase 3 of their movie universe,
he needs to be in it.
That's where he'll be.
Yeah.
But I think there was no way he was going to be part of phase 1.
No. But also because if you throw him on the Justice League, the Justice League is all a bunch of whiteies and one green guy. And that's the one thing.
Yeah, but you have the opportunity. And if you look at the TV casting, you have an opportunity to cast an African-American actor in that part.
That's true. It's very true. But I do think, I will be honest, I do think it's a smart choice throwing Cyborg up in there because.
I completely agree.
Because then you have an African-American in the forefront.
And again, I think that whoever plays Shazam should be, I don't care what they are, they should not be white.
Yeah, I think they should.
Anything but white.
I think it should be anything but white. Yeah.
Yeah, just to add some diversity there, even for the sake of diversity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my discussion.
Cool.
You knocked it out.
Now we go on to the teaching tweet where we're going to tell you, Professor Ashley's going to tell you mm-hmm. what she thinks about this character. And 120 or 140, I thought about changing it to 120 just to challenge it. 148 characters or less.
What's big and green and from Mars in a Superman analog? Martian Manhunter.
For a second there, I thought you were going to make it rhyme. What's big and green and lean and mean?
No, I don't rhyme. I don't think poetry should rhyme.
Oh, okay. All right. That's sad.
Nah.
Poetry's roses are red. Mars burns eternal. My family is dead.
I have issues paternal.
And that's going to do it for this lesson on Martian Manhunter John Jones. Go check him out on the Supergirl CBS series. If you want to help us out and go listen to more episodes of the past, because we've done other members of the Justice League, you can go check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Download these episodes, all of the past episodes, and go and leave us a review, because it lets other listeners find the podcast just like you. And if you want to suggest other members of the Justice League, we haven't done a Cyborg episode.
I would love to do a Cyborg episode.
We haven't done a Cyborg episode, and Ashley would love to do it. Where can they suggest it?
They can suggest it at geekhistorylesson.com. Our asks are open. You can do it on facebook.com/geekhistorylesson.
Yeah, and then don't forget to go follow each of us on Twitter and tell us what you think about our theories about Martian Manhunter and the DC Cinematic Universe. You can do that on Twitter for me, at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and Ashley on Twitter, Ashley V. Robinson. Also, don't forget, patreon.com/Jawin. Every little bit helps keep the Mind University open. That's it for Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, please close out this long lesson about the Eternal Man on Mars.
Class is dismissed, and keep your teleporters off.